Blog Talk Radio.
FirstFamRadio.com. FirstFamRadio.com.
After Chief Keef went on his tour, it stopped in New Jersey. Now, Top Flight Goons tested Keef Cozar to check if he was really with the shits. Elizabeth and Newark goons, they ran down on him to snatch his chain at a performance he had in Elizabeth, and rumor is that him and his whole squad went from 0 to 300 and got the fuck on out of town. Listen to his threat to the entire state of New Jersey.
I'm riding through New York. Bike, going through New Jersey up. Bike. Trying to take my chain, I ain't going. We gonna come and blow New Jersey up.
Yeah.
Yogi Boy.
Yeah, we heard you, nigga.
Bobby Lee.
Fuck Chief Keef Sosa. We the town, nigga.
Bang.
Huh? Jersey niggas never like it, homie. 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 CMD never like it, homie. We the town, nigga, never like it, homie. Brick City never like it, homie. AC never like it, homie. My dime moves say what's poppin', homie. My crick niggas say what's crackin', homie. Jersey niggas never like it, homie. We move around with that Mac up on it. They call us the Garden State. We put niggas in the veggie state. Rapid fire from the AK. 100 rounds take you out, now that's a speed day. Your guns pop, our guns pop. Roof gone, we drop the top. Spin the clip on that 9 Glock. That shit you said to get you murked, homie. We don't fuck with you, we fuck with dirt, homie. We the town, that's Trenton, nigga. North side, we'll hit you, nigga. Close up, won't miss you, nigga. Got a problem, we'll fix it, nigga. Naughty by nature and our blood, nigga. Soon, whoop to my cuz, niggas. Latin Kings to get your blood, nigga. We'll eat your food and drink your milk. 1090, watch blood spill. Trip on your ass, get you killed. For now, knowing no fly zone. Green light, that's what you're on. Mac 90, all chrome. Like a thot bitch, I want dome. Cop killers, fuck your vest. Head shots, fuck up your dress. Rockin' by baby, put your ass to bed. Gangsta shit, I wrote the story. Yogi boys, take you out your glory. Insane like Little J. O.C. Arrogant, well, I'm ready to K. My wolf pack ain't eat all day. For that feet old lay, let me ready to spray. You dug a hole, no shovel, nigga. Chicago Bull, never be the devil, nigga. Catch these bullets, Brandon Marshall, nigga. 12 games, how I lost, nigga. Brush your head, make it soft, nigga. Off the trip, makes bridge, how I toss, nigga. That slick shit, gon' cost you, nigga. This beef real, no frontin', nigga. Pull up like who's stuntin', nigga. 3Ks, 3 banana clips. G shit, let it spit. Ah, that's 300, bitch. Jersey niggas never like it, homie. 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 CMD never like it, homie.
FirstFamRadio.com. FirstFamRadio.com.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What's going on, world? Y'all already know it's your boy Chill Gizzy, man. I'm live. I got a legend in the game, man. You know what I mean? Before any of y'all could even think about rap, man, and what the whole Florida Miami sound was like, man. This is somebody that was there from the construction of that, man. You know what I mean? He's done countless work with Two Live Crew, Poison Clan, Luke, JT Money. You know what I mean? The list goes on. Trick Daddy. I'm talking about none other than Mr. Mike Fresh, y'all.
What's happening?
Show, big bro.
What's going on with Steph?
Oh, man, I'm maintaining, man. I'm blessed to be talking to you, for one.
You know what I mean? I appreciate talking to you, too, man. Most definitely.
Just for the listeners out there that might not have ever heard of you, man, just to give an accurate rundown, man. Give them a rundown of who you are, man, and what you have done in the game, man.
basically started in the game with working with Shadi. When we did, he was signed over there to Loop, and probably one of my first hit records was Shake It by Shadi. And basically, I was DJing for him. I was a DJ slash producer over there. And after a while, me and Shadi had, had a different type of agreement, and I left with Shadi, and then I ended up signing a producer contract with Luke. And I started doing music for him and his particular artist that he had on his label. So far, I did a few songs for 2 Live, but most of the 2 Live was produced by Mr. Mix, of course, another legendary producer. Did some stuff for, that's when I met JT Money and Poison Clan. It was really Poison Clan then before JT went separated and went and did his own particular music. It was him and Debonair. And it was, I started working on their second album. Mr. Mix did the first album. I started doing this second album, and from there I just went on and kept doing the Poison Clan albums and doing various artists on his label. So far as Bust Down out of New Orleans, he was big then out of New Orleans, and a few other people that was on his label that I was doing stuff for.
Another thing I want to ask you, man. Now, when you end up signing a producer contract at the time, did you have your mind set on like, yo, this is gonna be my main focus, you know, producing and just, you know what I mean, being behind the scenes?
At that time, I was a DJ when I first started. You know, DJ, and I'm actually went back to DJing now. You know what I'm saying? But at that time, you know, I was doing music, and I was coming out of Atlanta because I'm originally from Atlanta. And at that time, there was really no labels or any type of companies in Atlanta at that particular time that, you know, that could, you know, do anything as far as the rap career, you know what I'm saying, there. So we had to go other places to get what we were trying to strive for. So at that time, I was probably only one of the few people that was producing in Atlanta. At that time, I think it was me, probably Jermaine Dupri had started producing, and he was really young then, you know what I'm saying, before he did Crisscross. Yeah. And but in my neighborhood where I stayed at, they call that like the producer area, because it just so happened in my neighborhood there was 3 other producers that are legendary in my eyes, you know what I'm saying, which is DJ Toon, do all T.I. music, and then you had Uli C that did Shubi with the Hard Boys, that did a few tracks for Busta Rhymes, and a dude named Rich Reds that did all the Kilo music, if you're familiar with Kilo.
Okay.
And basically, that's where I had to go to Florida to, you know, to advance my career. So when I signed with Luke, it was definitely a producer contract, and I really wasn't in as far as doing concerts anymore. So I wanted to just do in-house DJing in the studio and recording, doing music as far as beats.
Well, if I could ask you this, man, what made you just like strictly stick with producing? Like, did you ever have like was inspired to be an artist, like a rap artist, or you know, like, what's your thought?
I think really, when you come into this type of business, everybody, I feel like, tries a little bit of everything. You try a little rap. I tried rapping. I see rapping wasn't it for me. You know what I'm saying? And either you're a rapper or you're a DJ. And most DJs actually turn into producers, believe it or not, because you're dealing with beats. And then it's just a matter of time when you start really get your first drum machine. There was a guy that was in the military that stayed up the street from me when I was young. You know what I'm saying? And he was over in Japan, and he picked up a few pieces of equipment, music equipment. It was a drum machine, but he never really learned how to work it. He just bought it. And he's one of my brother's friends, and he just, you know, let me use his drum machine. So I started playing with it. It was actually a Roland 606. I used to call it Freddie Jackson drum machine because it reminds you of a song Freddie Jackson had, Rock Me Tonight. It was the same drum machine that he used. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, so I just started learning how to work the 606. And if you know about Roland drum machines, all of them work the same. So, 606, and I ended up getting the 808 and a 727. And I just started building, you know, with the help of a friend. I call him, he's like my second daddy. And he just started buying drum machines for me because, you see, that's what I had got into. I really got into it. And then I started living in a studio when I was doing work with him. He ended up had a friend had a studio that did gospel, but they let me stay in the studio. And after everybody was doing the studio at the gospel, I would come in there late at night, and I started learning how to work studio work. So I learned how to do engineering and everything.
Damn. So in your opinion, man, like, you know, as far as like the time and work, the work ethic that you put in, man, what would you say have changed, you know, since the times you started as a producer to the present?
Well, the main thing that I see now is more digitally and more software. Where it's computer. When I was doing it, it was tape and a razor blade. You know what I'm saying?
Keep it real.
And
keep it real.
I used to do it with the. We'll take the 2-inch reels. You get a 2-inch reel. 2-inch reel running you about $200. You probably put about 3-4 songs on each reel. You know what I'm saying? And you bring it down to 1-inch tape, and then I used to edit. Know how to edit? You know, so I used to splice with the razor blade and know how to edit. And at that time, I was fascinated by Mantronix. Yeah. Mantronix was a hell of a producer. You know what I'm saying? And between him and Arthur Baker, they used to do all the editing and remixes. So it got me into splicing and editing. You know what I'm saying? So that's what got me grabbing that razor blade and to start editing and learn how to do that. But nowadays it's, you know, it's software. It's not hardware. You know what I'm saying? And you got your Pro Tools and or whatever software you're using, you know what I'm saying? And people's producing on the computer where it makes it much easier, but it just, I'm a hardware man myself. You know what I'm saying? But
no doubt.
You know.
Let me ask you this. Now, did it change you enough to start using the Pro Tools and all the other various softwares and computer technology?
Yeah, you had to. You'll be behind time. You know what I'm saying? You had to, and it's actually much easier. But it also, I always say, the music business, as far as with new equipment and making it easier, it's good, but it also has a bad side to it because now everybody feels that they can produce and everybody really doesn't know the art of producing. You know what I'm saying? And like now when I'm doing music or I'm doing some engineer for somebody, mainly doing engineer for somebody, and they bring their track to me, you know, the track is already mixed. It's not separate. See, we used to separate our stuff. But now they have the music, the producers
the
now, they actually do their mixing in the software that they're doing and they drop it to a 2-track. That's cool. But the problem is when they say you the 2-track, it's all, you know, producers have a habit when they produce, when they make their music and they're making a CD for people to hear it, they bring it up to its highest level. You know what I'm saying? And so when you hear their music and you're listening to it as far as musically, it's banging, it's beating as hard as it can beat. Okay, that's cool. But if you decide to use a track, say I want to use one of the tracks that I heard, and then they give me the two track of it, and it's all and it's boosted up to its highest level it can go, it makes it hard for you to do vocally, to you know what I'm saying, where your vocals can breathe because they had already boosted it up as high as it can go. So, and a lot of people don't understand that when I get a two track of the music instrumental and it's boosted up high as it go, it's like it's not too much I can do with it because it's all, you know, you took all the breathing room out of it because it's up to as high as it can. Now your vocals are fighting through the track instead of it, you know, being, you know, the music being at a nice level and you can breathe, and then you boost everything up after everything is said and done. So, but it's, you know, it's good for as far as people can do it, because, you know, back in the days, you go to a studio, it's an arm and a leg to go to a studio.
Yeah.
You know, and people didn't have that type of money. But now, since they got the software, you can do it in your own home, it's digital, and it makes it easier for everybody that can afford it. And that's the good thing about it. But like I said, that it's a bad thing is everybody swears, everybody thinks they can actually produce, and some people don't know what producing is.
Yeah.
Producing is not just making the beat. Producing is guiding the whole work. You know what I'm saying? Making sure that their vocals are on point. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
They're just gathering, making sure that the song mold is, everything is perfect. You know what I'm saying? It's bigger than just making the beat. You know, so, you know, I think people don't have the knowledge now as far as understanding the whole concept of production. You know what I'm saying? As far as you want to be a producer, you know, it's cut. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
you
know, you don't know the whole 100% of, like, you know how to do it, but you don't, you know how you say you don't know how to do, you know, understand where I didn't know how to understand when an engineer told me, like, how many dBs or decibels, you know, is your bass, you know, going. I didn't understand that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I understood, my ears tell me everything. So I used to be like, man, you don't have to know all book knowledge. And that's true, but at the same time, it's good to know if you did know it.
Yeah, definitely. I see that a lot, too, today. You know what I mean? Like, you'll go to a couple studios, and you got people that work by ear, and you got people that went to school for it. And sometimes, you know, they could outdo each other sometimes, you know what I mean?
Right.
You know what I mean? But, you know, I follow you on that. I wanted to go back in the day again, man. You know, when, like, the first time you and JT Money hooked up, you know what I mean? Like, you know, what was the feeling like? You know what I mean? What y'all, how did y'all vibe and come up with the records y'all came up with over the years?
Well, to be honest with you, like I said, When I came and signed with Luke, Luke had already dropped their first album, which was Two Low Lifes, and Mr. Mix did that album. Actually, Mr. Mix is the one that discovered them. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, props to Mr. Mix. And he did his first album, so I was already familiar with their style of music, because that Low Lifes album was a great album, you know what I'm saying? And so I already kind of knew what style they was on, you know what I'm saying? And then when I first got down there, JT wasn't even around. He was locked up at the time, and Dev was out, the other rapper, which he ended up going to Home Team, you know. But, you know, I met Dev, and you know, Dev was really deep and passionate in his rap career, and plus he was learning how to work beats. Mr. Mix was showing him how to program and stuff like that. So we had built a relationship, and then when Jay got out, that's when I first finally met him, you know what I'm saying? And I see him was cool, and you know, we just hit it all quick, you know what I'm saying? So Mr. Mix ended up departing from Luke at that time. They had a difference with Two Live, you know, had a difference of opinion with Luke, and he ended up parting from Luke for a minute, and I just ended up taking over all the production stuff, and it just happens like that. So
yeah,
told me to start working on Poison Clan album. So me and Jay got together real quick. We did the album. It was JT and Dev at first. We did the whole Poison Mentality album, and then they had a fallout with Luke, and they left Luke, and they took the masters with the whole album, and they erased it. They erased the whole album. So
yeah.
You know, and there was other songs that we did that we never redid again. So when we did Poison Mentality album over again, there were some songs. There were like two or three songs that we never recreated again and put back on that album. So, you know, that was like I know a person that has a tape of that is rare. You find that one is rare, but he has a tape of it that has two or three other songs. And Dev was on that album. But like I said, Dev ended up not coming back to Luke for a minute. He eventually came back, but he left for a minute, and him and his brother formed a group called Home Team, which had the big hit Pick It Up. And Jay came back and just went on and just did a solo Poison Clan. So we came back, we reconstructed the whole album again, and we added a few more different songs on there. And actually, the last song that he did was Shake What Your Mama Gave You. You know what I'm saying? Which Devastator produced that particular song. And and that rest is, you know what I'm saying? We just connected so much that from then on, I was just a Poison Clan producer, and I started DJing for him.
Now I want to ask you this question, man. I might be going a little left with it, man. You know, where was you during the time that Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, and Luke all started, you know, having their little issues, like, you know, on records, when the Dre Day record came out?
I was there, you know what I'm saying? I was there, and like I said, I never understood the beef on that particular thing, situation that happened. I never knew what the real beef was about. I heard rumors of what the beef was about. I heard that NWA was actually sparking, saying something. We was the first dirty rappers, you know, to ever come out. You know what I'm saying? So, and Luke caught offense to that. That's a rumor I heard. Now, I'm not saying that's what really happened, but that's what I heard was sparked it off, and then we made a record, a diss record called Faking Like Gangsters.
Yeah.
And we put that out, and it was on Luke, I Got Some Shit On My Mind album. And at the time, that's when Dre had left NWA. Well, from my understanding, that I guess somebody let Dre hear that particular song, and him and Snoop was together then, and this was a little bit after they did the Deep Cover song, and they came back on the diss record on the Dre Day. So you know, things went from 0 to 100, but I also heard that, you know, this was set up between Dre and Luke to make some money. So, you know, if that was the case, that ain't cool to me, because if I'm down with a label and we're supposed to be family, we're supposed to be family. So if you got a problem with somebody, we all got a problem. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just saying, if that was the case and you know, this is a money situation, but you got everybody thinking that, you know, this is a real beef. And I'm going in. I'm with you. You know what I'm saying? So they had a big situation at Jack the Rapper convention. I'm trying to remember what year that was when they had the beef.
It was back then, like 90 something. I can't remember the exact year. But I know
that
I want to say 94.
That was when the Jack the Rapper convention was booming. It was probably one of the biggest conventions.
Yeah.
And at that time, and if you're familiar with Jack the Rapper, then you'll know that if you go to a Jack the Rapper convention, you know that convention is basically ran by Luke didn't run the Jack the Rapper, but everybody used to come to Jack the Rapper to come to Luke's parties, because Luke's party is off the chain with the bitches.
Yeah, I remember
doing their thing. And so Jack the Rapper was really Luke's baby. Even though it wasn't his conference, it was his baby, though. So everybody know Jack the Rapper, Luke. So the first sign of problems was that year Jack the Rapper, Death Row, sent the message out that they was coming all the way from California to the Jack the Rapper convention, which is in Atlanta, and they was going to run shit. And, you know, everybody knows, like I said, that Jack the Rapper is Luke's baby. And plus, you know, this is in Atlanta. You coming all the way from the West Coast talking about you getting ready to run some shit. And, you know, this is our shit. You know what I'm saying? So that was the first sign of it was getting ready to be some problems about that. And we was actually on tour when that Jack the Rapper came. So the conference started a Thursday, and we didn't come into town till that Friday because we had a gig in Carolina that Thursday. So for H-Town, which was Luke's baby at the time, and they was hot like fire with the Knockin' the Boots album, went to the Jack the Rapper that Thursday with U Mind, was another singing group that Luke had out of Chicago. Well, you know what? They came there Thursday. They was getting threats from certain people. I can't say who it was, but, you know, we were taking it as it was Death Row people was giving them threats. Mm-hmm. So this got back to Luke. So when we came in town Friday, we sat and had a meeting. Luke had flew a whole bunch of people from Miami, you know, killers. We just called killers from Miami. And we had a big meeting at the hotel. Well, we wasn't at the Marriott then. We was at the Nico. If you're from Atlanta, then you know where the Nico is. And the Marriott was the place with the Jack the Rapper. We had a big meeting, and Luke was like, we're going to go to Jeff Rowe's party, which was that Friday night. We're going to go in there, and the first person say something, knock his pussy ass out. So, you know, we all go into Marriott, and it's funny because earlier that day, we was at the Marriott, and I sat and was talking to Tupac, and he wasn't signed with Death Row yet. But he was on the party. He was doing a concert on the Death Row party. So we was talking to him. He's like, man, do what you got to do. You know what I'm saying? If it was a problem, do what you got to do. So we was coming in that night for the party, and we're going down the elevator, and I see Pac coming up the elevator. They just got through with their show. So he looking at us while we going down, and he coming up. He's like, handle your business. So before we even got to the Death Row party, somebody said something outside, and the fight kicked off right there. So, you know, some people got hurt. I ain't going to say who it was, but it wasn't us. You know, but at the end of the day, it wasn't Snoop or nobody, or Dre, or none of that. We was fighting. I don't know who it was. It was just somebody. Probably we was taking up for Death Row. Maybe somebody from California. I don't know. But that's how it ended up. And it just got out of hand, and they actually didn't let us do our party the next following day. And after that, Luke didn't participate in the Jack the Rapper convention no more after that. So,
wow.
Yeah, but like I said, I don't know, you know, how I never knew what sparked that beef.
No doubt. Moving along, though, I want to ask you, like, what's some of the things you got going on now that you're working on, man? I know you been doing this for a minute, man, and
like I said, I honestly done got more back into my DJing because, you know, once you do music, you know what I'm saying, you got to be in love with that shit. You know, it's like, back then I was in love with it. You couldn't cheat me out of the studio. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, the years done went by, music changed, you know what I'm saying? So I don't really go in the studio. I have my own personal studio, but I really don't go in there as much. I go there when I feel like doing something because I feel like doing something, but, you know, not getting with rappers or anything because I have a problem with rappers and my situation is I always felt, you know, that if me and you doing something, you know what I'm saying, I didn't really look at paperwork, you know what I'm saying? I just feel that if you loyal to me, we do our thing, let's come up together, you know what I'm saying? But it don't work that way, and I just hate to sign somebody because I want somebody to feel like, dog, okay, you cool like that, you know what I'm saying? But the game don't work like this. It's a slimy business. And that's what made me deter me from the music business, where I don't really want to be in the music business like I used to be. You know what I'm saying? Like, and if I ain't got the love for it, like 100%, there's no business being in it. You know what I'm saying? So, like I said, I go down every now and then, and I jump on a track, you know, just for me. This is just to keep me doing things, but I don't make tracks for rappers or nothing. I just make tracks for myself just to see, you know, what it is, you know. And I have a couple of tracks that I have, but I haven't never gave it to nobody. And then I don't like the people, like, I know from me being in the music business, I know certain rappers, I know like the Ross, I know Rick Ross, I know most of the rappers from Florida. And I just don't like people superstar talking and I came up with that name because you ever had a person that you seen, you know what I'm saying, and he done got successful, but y'all used to always talk, you know what I'm saying, and then now he done got successful and you can tell by his demeanor that he really don't want to talk to you, but since he know you, because you know he know he'll be flawed for just acting like that, that he'll go ahead and talk to you and be telling you, call me up, and then when you call him up, he ain't picking up the phone.
Yeah.
All that superstar talking. They can superstar talking to me, and I just don't like a person superstar talking to me, and I had a situation with a couple of rappers like that. So I'm like, oh, okay. You know what I'm saying? A person ain't got a superstar talk to me, I get out your fucking face. You know what I'm saying? You know, but so the industry is just real slimy like that, and people be fake and phony. You know what I'm saying? So I just tend not to even deal with that.
Yeah, and I could agree with you on that, man. Because, you know, everybody had a counter too. You know what I mean, with the industry, man. Where, you know, they ain't in the best interest for culture, man. It's all about that paper, man.
Yeah, and you say, and people sell their soul for it, and it's like, at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying, you got to come back home. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you got your real friends, and then you got your vultures that came down when they see you getting hot. Vultures that came down and swooped in, and they come in every form or fashion. And you don't know who's really these your yes men to tell you everything. Oh man, that shit hot. Everything you do is hot. Oh, that shit hot, man. That shit hot. You know what I'm saying? And you lose focus. And So yeah. I understand how you can lose focus because these voices, like I said, they come in every form of fashion. It could be a girl. It could be, you know what I'm saying?
It could be a drug. It could be anything.
It could be anything. You know what I'm saying? And you done got this into them so deep now that you forgetting who your real homeboys was from day one. The motherfuckers that told you, man, nah, Tunk, that shit. Or, Fresh, that shit.
Yeah.
That shit right there ain't popping. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, I can see how you can get caught up in that. But,
yeah.
You have to fight that. You know what I'm saying? Because
definitely,
you know, I think even to this day, I see situations that go on. Like, I look at T-Pain. Okay, when T-Pain was hot, everybody wanted him on the record. You know what I'm saying? I seen it. The DJ Khaled and the Cash Money people just eat him up. You know what I'm saying? Just use him up. You know what I'm saying? And as soon as he fell a drop off, next thing you know, you don't see them niggas with him no more. You know what I'm saying? Then I seen
like
Future take his,
yeah.
Yeah, then I seen Future take his spot. Here go everybody putting Future on the track. You know, they just eat you up. You know what I'm saying? They ain't really cool with you. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no real love. They just eat you up. And then as soon as you start declining, then they throw you off. Now who Birdman, Cash Money, and them fucking with now? Rich Homie Quan and Young Thug.
Young Thug. They,
you know
they
what I'm saying?
And they all what you say, offsprings of T-Pain style.
Yeah. All offsprings, you feel me? So, you know, and it's just what they're going to do is while they hot, they're going to eat them up, you know, and that keeps them relevant. You know what I'm saying? So I understand this is a business and, you know, and to make it successful, you got to be slimy, it seems like. But I never grew up like that. You know what I'm saying? So that's probably why I'm not in it like that no more, because I didn't grow up like to be slimy. So when my old girl, which is that my mama, you know, if you're from Miami, you know, old girl to old boy, that's your mama and your daddy. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? They taught me the correct way. You know what I'm saying? So I don't understand sliminess. You know what I'm saying? And I don't hang around sliminess. So if I see some sliminess, then I don't want no parts of it.
I feel you.
You know? So. I mean, to be honestly truthful with you, I'd rather do a 9-to-5 than to deal with sliminess.
Yeah.
Even though I don't want to do a 9-to-5, I want to have my own shit, but yeah. I'm going to tell you, to deal with sliminess, because sliminess is going to make you hurt somebody.
Yeah,
and that's not good for nobody. You know what I'm saying? And I'm a grown man, and you know what I'm saying? I don't have time for that. You know what I'm saying? So I choose not to get into it, so it won't take me. It won't take me there. You know. So if I don't be in it, then I ain't got to worry about it going to that level. You know what I'm saying? Because anybody can get it at any given day.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? No matter who you are. You know what I'm saying? So I choose not to go to that level. So for me not going to that level, I just tend to not deal with it no more, because I done seen everything. I done seen how Luke played. And don't get me wrong, I love Luke. I see Luke. We talk. But Luke ripped me off. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, if it wasn't for Luke, I wouldn't know where I would have been in the music business. So, you know, you got to look at the good parts and the negative parts. So instead of me just keeping hostility in my head and just I'm just mad every day. You know how you got a motherfucker mad every day. Man, what you mad for, nigga? God damn, you know what I'm saying? Okay, that shit that happened, that shit old, man. Let that shit go, man. You know what I'm saying? And my mind was, nigga, you done stole from me, but guess what? You think I only can make one? I could go and make another one. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's what mindset you should be on. But you be so hurt that a nigga done stole from you, he done took your whole mind and just altered it. And now you just in the mad mode. You can't even think about doing something else because you still mad about that shit. And I done seen that shit just take a lot of motherfuckers out. Niggas just mad.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So That's just crazy, man. I don't get it. So people who just stay negative and just mad, I don't like fucking with them people either. Because, you know, I don't need you to get me in that mindset.
Definitely.
You know, so.
I can relate to that.
Most important thing to a man is their mind. Everything else is subliminal. You know what I'm saying? Or it can be changed. But if you take a nigga mind, then what am I living for? You know?
Real talk, man.
Yeah.
I want to ask you, I got another question, man. It's like a couple of them regarding Luke. Y'all had a record y'all did.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I was a fan of House Party and Class Act and House Party 2. Kid and Play, man.
Yeah.
When y'all did that record, I don't know how the beef, you know, went between Luke and them guys, man. You know,
that scenario, I know about that scenario and how that happened. And if you knew about Two Live Crew and about them back in them days, you knew the North was running things, and we was getting on concerts with a lot of North acts, right? And people didn't understand. We'll just say North people didn't understand cliche music. You know what I'm saying? And they thought it was garbage. They thought it was garbage. And they make comments here about this and that and subliminal comments, you know what I'm saying? And you hear these things, you know what I'm saying? Not just the fact of that. BET wasn't even catering to the loops or that. They thought it was all garbage. So that's what they making I Ain't Bullshitting records. And each album had an I Ain't Bullshitting on it. He just talked about people who be talking that bullshit and think a nigga don't hear it. And we just go ahead and he just goes in on people. So he heard some comments that Kid and Play made and Salt and Pepper. Because he actually did Salt and Pepper on a I Ain't Bullshitting record. You know what I'm saying? But the Kid and Play scenario, I guess he decided he wanted to make a record about that. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and then these the same people that will come to Luke's party and be all in his face like, oh man, Luke, you the man. You know what I'm saying? At the Jack the Rapper. Yeah. But then turn around and be talking that bullshit. So Luke is one of them people that he don't bite his tongue. He gonna say. So he said, let's do this record. We're going to go in on Kid and Play. And that's how that happened.
Oh, man. Now, the reason why, you know, like, I've noticed in interviews, like, Luke could go from 0 to, like, 100, like, instantly, man. Like you said, like, he don't bite his tongue.
Yeah, he had to. Because he had to defend himself from, you know, people didn't understand the booty shake plus Luke's concept of doing music. You know, Luke's concept was girls and talking about sexual acts. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Which everybody back then had a different style. Well, they didn't understand his style. And then when they go on the road, you know, it was like Two Live against everybody else on tour. You know what I'm saying? Nobody was really dealing with dude. You know, you get on tour, everybody has a familiarity with everybody, and everybody ends up being kind of cool, and you know, because you know you're on a tour. It's not just one show. This is dates that you're doing. So everybody needs to be something kind of cordial, cool to each other, even though you have your own shit still. But they used to do Two Live Crew where, you know, y'all outcast to us.
Yeah.
We don't even understand y'all shit. You know what I'm saying?
Okay,
and that's why.
Yeah.
And that's why South people, and that's just not Luke, that was South people. Like, it took Master P to break grounds. Yeah, that's, I mean, there's been rappers been doing shit before Master P from down South but we would never get no play. We never get no video play. The Source magazine used to always diss anything coming out of the South. You feel me?
Yeah, yeah.
And at the time, Source was big as fuck. You know, so we had to defend ourselves. So, you know, that's why he'd be at an uproar that he used to be in. You know,
yeah.
And sometimes he'd get out of line and say the wrong, say some fucked up shit. But that's how pissed off he was. Like, you got to think, Luke was the only person that was independent record company that was pushing shit out of his own where he works at, pushing stuff out of his own warehouse, going to each major city. Nobody was doing that. Nobody. And was selling records. You know what I'm saying? Without really radio play like they should have had. You know what I'm saying? And we had no video play. Can you tell me any two live record that you've seen on video, on BET, you didn't see not one two live thing until Band in the USA came out. And Two Live been through 3-4 albums before all that. You know, so that tell you why he was so hostile.
He had a lot to prove, a lot of weight on him and stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, I understand that situation because if you remember Outkast, you remember when they went to the Source?
Yeah.
And then everybody was beefing with the California and the New York thing, but you know, Outkast just won an award, and they like, who the hell is this motherfucker? And, you know what I mean? Come on, this was a big album they had. And that's why they said what they said. You know, South got something to say. Y'all could motherfuckers beef about this shit and ignore us, but the South got something to say.
I want to ask you, too, man, like, far as today, man, like, you know, you said you do still produce, man, at, you know, for your leisure. Like, is there any groups right now that you're working with, man, that, you know what I mean, you might, you know, feature with them and do something with them, you know, ever so often?
No, not really. Like I said, I went back to DJing, and I did a couple of dates with Jay, because Jay's still out there doing his thing. So every now and then I go out there with him and I DJ for him every now and then. But as far as getting in the studio, like I said, I, you know, my nephews be down there more than I be down there. He goes in the studio. You know, my nephews got it tight, though. But, you know, I just, like I said, I go down there when I feel like doing some music. But I just do it for the art of me, of the love. You know what I'm saying? Like, that ain't never going to come out. Music I'm always going to love, and I'm always going to go down there in the studio. Like, one of my old boys told me, he said, dog, if you ain't going to produce for nobody and shit, like, you might as well sell your shit. And I was like, look at that. He was like, what the fuck you talking about? I said, my shit? Are you crazy? Well, nigga, what you got it for? I'm like, man, it don't matter. You know what I'm saying? I still love music. I just don't like the industry.
Yeah.
So until I love it again.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because I still got connects, but I got to, you know, I got to love it again. Or like I said, it ain't no sense to me doing it.
Let me ask you this, man. Now I know, you know, I mean, you've been on countless shows, man. You know, different interviews, man, where, you know, the question about the Illuminati come up, man. What's your opinion on that whole, you know, thing about it? You know what I mean? Is it within the industry or within life? What would you say?
Well, I believe it. You know, as far as that, I believe it's going on. Because, you know why? Because I really think people, we sell our souls when it comes to this money. And money is the root of evil. And if you try to get money in any type of way, whether it's selling your soul, you know what I'm saying? People do that, and I don't understand that. You know what I'm saying? But money and power are when you dab in certain situations with money and power, and you just think you're untouchable, then you sell your soul a lot. You know what I'm saying? I really think these artists would be selling their soul. Now, as far as who's in the Illuminati, you know what I can't say. You know what I'm saying? I just look and I see people do certain things where, damn, that's not cool. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, but can I actually say they're in the Illuminati? No, I don't know. I don't know. That's they business. I don't know. Yeah. I don't look, but I see certain things that's not cool.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Let me ask you this. Now, as far as, like, an artist selling their souls, like, give us examples of, like, if you can, of an artist selling their soul, like, some forms of fashion.
I mean, selling your soul can be so many different things. First of all, you got to stand for something. You know what I'm saying?
Word.
So, everybody that does anything, whether it's music or anything, stands for something. And so when I say selling your soul, that means you did something that you know out of the norm that you wouldn't do, that you know you wouldn't do. But, you know what I'm saying, but the money or the power was so great that you just like, you know what, you know what I'm saying, it's almost like snitching to me. You know what I'm saying? I never snitch. But when those people get you in that goddamn homicide room, and you about to do some time, you know what I'm saying? You be like, man, I'm gonna tell on the person that. Why would you do that? You know what I'm saying? So it's got the similarity. You know what I'm saying? So if you know you stand for something, and then you know. All of a sudden, you don't stand for that no more. You know what I'm saying? Like, even rappers, who kills me with rappers, they say they got this beef with certain individuals. You got this beef, and then you make it, then you ain't got beef with this cat no more. You know what? I'm one thing I didn't understand, the situation with Jeezy and Gucci Mane. Okay, if you got beef, which they still got beef, but there was one point in the time they was talking like they was working it out. Well, wait a minute now. How can you work out something where somebody just died?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it went too far where you can't work shit out. Okay, man got killed. Gucci killed a man coming into his house. All right, that's supposed to be was sent from Jeezy, supposedly. How can you try to work something out when somebody died?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Wait a minute. So I'm doing this for you. This again where we talking about loyalty and family. I'm going to go see a nigga about you. One of the niggas got it. And now you over there trying to work it out with this man? There's no working out. This shit went beyond. That shit went beyond. There's no working it out no more. Sometimes you can work shit out, because most of the time beef is bullshit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Most of the time beef, you don't even know what you're beefing about. But that particular situation there is no working it out. None whatsoever.
Yeah. And I can see that.
Somebody died.
Yeah.
You know? And that's the key. You know, so I don't know. That's another thing, man. If you're gonna be a rapper and you talk about this gangster shit, you better be about it. You better be about it, because there's people gonna check you. There's gonna be people out there gonna check you, and they're gonna know off the rip, this nigga ain't about that life. He ain't about what he be talking about. And then they're gonna ultimately try you. Now here goes where keeping it real goes wrong. If you know you ain't. You know what I'm saying? If you know you ain't no gangster, you know what I'm saying? Don't try to act like it now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, now you want to try to act like, hey, you know, acting is acting. That's why that word is called acting. You know what I'm saying?
For real.
Don't try to do it now, and you know you ain't got no killer instinct in you at all. You know what I'm saying? You know, this shit ain't bigger than Nino. You know what I'm saying?
Word.
This shit bigger than Nino, man. You know, you got to have years in that shit. You just can't start selling dope. You know what I'm saying? Hey, man, I'm going to start selling dope, man. You gotta live that shit. You got to live and breathe that shit. Just can't all of me say, damn, you know what? I'm going to go buy me a key or a house right now. You know what I'm saying? And think people just going to respect you off the rip. You got to work for that shit.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know?
And you know what? And that's real that you said that, man. Because I remember doing a interview with Rico Barino, Fantasia brother, and he said he said he was signed over to TI Grand Hustle. And I asked him, I said, you know, what is like over? I didn't know that, you know, you was over there on the roster or whatever. And he said, oh yeah, man. He said it's like this over there, man. You know, if you ain't in there, you know, like grinding and hustling, like, you know, actually. No pushing yourself, he said that you don't get to go shopping with them and go do all the little wonderful shit that they get to do, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's real, man. That's why I look at, you know, what you just said remind me of, you know, something that he said. But he realized that, you know, he's on his own wave now. You know, he's doing his own thing. So, I mean, I wanted to shout him out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you got to stand for something, or you fall for nothing, for everything. You know what I'm saying? And that's a true statement. You know what I'm saying? So you can't let the game pimp you, man. You know what I'm saying? You know, like they say, everybody gets pimped in the music business at least once time. Okay, cool. But if you don't learn from it, you keep getting pimped, then shame on you. You ain't learning from it. You letting motherfuckers keep doing it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So in order for me, that's why I say I stand for something. So if I don't like how the game is, I don't want no parts of it. You know what I'm saying? And I just didn't like what the game is now until, because they try to make me ruthless and don't give a fuck. And you, one thing you can now, you can't take my way of living. You can't take my mind. I'm not gonna let you have that. You know what I'm saying? Because you want me to turn grimy and slimy like you in order for me to make it? No, I choose not to. I choose not to choose that role. You know what I'm saying? You know, again, you know, that's a part of the, you know, people do anything for money or power, you know? And I choose not to be in that path, man.
Yeah, I feel you on that. I agree with you on that, man. 100. I'm just, you know, you just opened my eyes to a lot of shit over the years, man, because I always ask the question, you know what I mean, about those situations we just spoke upon, man. And, you know, I was like that. I always wondered that, man, you know, like about, you know, Luke, you know what I mean, when you was producing for those guys, man. Do you still, like, or are you still getting any, you know, compensation for a lot of that stuff, man? Or are you just, you know, done away with it?
Oh, man, I never got the compensation. Because back in my days, man, when I did music, you know, you got to think, you know, one thing I give props to now, artists, they understand about this money issue. Back when I was doing it, it was the love for the music, man. It was the love for music. We had a three policy. It's do shows, fuck hoes, and make this money out on the road. But it was bigger than make this money out on the road. Niggas didn't understand royalties. Niggas didn't understand that, motherfucker, you got sales internationally, and you done went out of the country, but you didn't even know you was even selling out of the country. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Niggas didn't understand that, and I was one of them. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, it was about music, man. That's how I lived and breathed music. That's the business part, you know what I'm saying? Then I didn't start seeing that until I started understanding about royalties and statement, getting royalty statements. I didn't even know you get a royalty statement. You know what I'm saying? Then I found out, you know, because, and then I seen some new people these days that ain't never seen a royalty statement in their life. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and so I never really got kind of, I didn't understand, you know, signing up with the BMI ASCAP until later. You know what I'm saying? And owning a certain percent of your publishing. you know. So, you know, once I understood it, you know, people already done gaffled me for it. So, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
You know, I don't really see what I was supposed to, what I should have seen. But,
yeah.
You know, like I said, I can't, you know, I can't dwell over
It ain't nothing wrong with that. Like you said, you know, like you live and you learn things, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, it's 1,000 people, man. Now, I say over that, more than 1,000. You know what I mean? Like, it's a lot of people. Like, that's against, you know what I mean, the industry now, man. Like, you know, I got this thing. I was talking with the homie Prez, man, over at UGS. And I was telling him about this movement I started, man. It's called We Are the Industry, man. And I believe that, you know, every artist that's out here independent, you know what I mean, that's grinding, you know what I mean, and all these video directors, DJs, producers, if we was to all band together from state to state, cross country, you outnumber the you would take over. We outnumber the country on a music industry level, and then we would control it because it'll go back to the streets, and now these big guys won't be able to make money at concerts because the DJs.
Right.
If the DJs
right.
was in a club like a deep you and millions of other DJs was in a club playing independent music,
mm-hmm.
it'll fold the mainstream,
and
it's already folded.
And you are dead on point with that. And it was, you see where the state of labels are these days. These big labels, they ain't making no money. It's good for your ass. You deserve
yep.
that shit. You've been stealing for centuries.
Yeah, from
you've
the culture too,
from
everybody.
For centuries. And I'm gonna tell you the next. I said whatever needs to fold. The next is these distributors. We distribute our shit anyway by ourselves.
And
why do we need distributors when we distribute our shit by ourselves?
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? It's just a matter of just linking up. Everybody know everybody. Like I told the person, I said, look at here. I'm in Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? You got a person in Miami. You send me your product, I'm working your shit up here. I send my shit down there, you work my shit down there. If everybody had that mentality, but see, everybody don't. You know, a girl told me one time, a long time ago, I said, yo, you know, we was talking about it. She said, you know, women can rule this world if we wanted to. And I thought about it, and I said, you know what, you might be right, you know. But you know why we ain't never got to worry about it? Because y'all don't like each other.
Yep.
You feel me? So as long as y'all don't like each other, we good. And
yeah,
that
right.
goes the same thing with this music
with
business.
With the world, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Everybody's different. I might work the shit out your record. But you might not work my record like I'm working the shit out your record. You know what I'm saying? And that's because every motherfucker is different. You know what I'm saying? I had a few situations where I was doing music. When I was doing music, you know what I'm saying, where I could have just ate up all the money, took all the money. But I had my homeboys that did music. And I said, man, you know, come and eat with me. Come and eat with me. You know, come get some of this. I don't want the whole walnut. Just give me. I'm cool with the peanuts.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I want you to eat with me too.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I went off and somebody else, and one of my homeboys came on, he didn't do the same shit for me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He wanted the whole walnut.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, you know, I'm pissed about it. But then at the same time, I had to think. Every nigga ain't the same. What you do for another nigga, that don't mean that nigga do the same for you.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, once you realize that, then you just have to live life like, you know, what is given to you. You know what I'm saying? But you know, certain people you can fuck with the long way, and some people you just, hey, man, certain points I got to cut you off because you ain't that nigga that I'll go to bat all the way for, because I know you won't go all the way for me.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's why we can't. It will be easy if we can do that shit, where we can just cut all these motherfuckers out. We can do our shit like that. But the problem is we don't play fair ball. We don't play a friendly game of baseball. You know what I'm saying? There's always going to be a nigga. There's always going to be another nigga that's going to do some fuckery.
Yep. That's damn sure true, man. And it's crazy because if that was to ever happen, just like I was reading this post one day on Facebook, man. It was a guy on there. I think his name Dean Kavanaugh, man. I want to say this. He said he was talking to black people. You know, he was from like Norway or Sweden or some shit. But you know, I ain't look at it, take it as you know like to him being racist. But he had a point. You know what I'm saying? Because he said black people would take over the world if they took all their money out of the banks and quit their jobs and banded together. And I was like, that would fuck up. That would fuck up the whole world. You know what I mean?
Real talk. Real talk. Believe it or not.
Yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I said, believe it or not, like the situation that happened with the GM for the Hawks, the Atlanta Hawks, and what he said about what he said. You know what I'm saying about white people won't come to the game. Because black people always outside, you know. Because you know every stadium is where is it built? Mostly every stadium that you know, where is built at? In the black neighborhood. Why? Because it's cost effective. You know what I'm saying? Every stadium you go to is in the hood. You know what I'm saying? So he said some true shit. It wasn't no lie.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, white people ain't going to come to the game because too many black people out there.
Yep.
It's real shit. You know, and it sounds like some racist shit he said, but be honestly truthful, it's true.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Ain't nobody coming down. I'm coming to the game. I'm white and I'm coming to the game. And here goes a whole bunch of black people. Especially some homeless ones, and then they begging.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Oh no, man, I feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I understand. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, you built your stadium in the hood because you wanted to get the cheap, cost effective. You know what I'm saying? Where it don't cost that much, so that's what comes with it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But he wasn't wrong with his comments. But, you know, people looking at him, well, that was some racial shit you said. But I look at it like, shit, you telling the fucking truth.
Yeah,
be honestly truthful with you. Telling the truth.
And you know,
what
racial
to me?
You know what it is? Once the mainstream media to take over, man, and they get a comment from, like, people, and it'd be like one or three people, they take that as... Everybody feels that way, you know what I'm saying? And they got to get off that bullshit because, you know what I mean, just because three motherfuckers might say this and three other motherfuckers might say differently, come on, man, you still ain't reaching no motherfucking verdict, you know what I mean? But,
And the media, they control a lot of bullshit, and it makes people think a lot of bullshit, too. You know what I'm saying? Like, now I see what's going on. Y'all trying to push this gay shit.
Speak on it, brother.
You trying to push this gay shit. You trying to make it acceptable. And look here. I don't care what people, if they're gay, that's cool. But don't be pushing it on my family.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Man?
Now I got to explain to my family,
I'm glad
you know, that's their way. That's their lifestyle. You ain't got to be like that. Because actually, we go in the Bible on that, but, you know, I don't like the media pushing that. Now, if you see all these shows come on, these reality shows, there's a lot of gay stuff come on.
Even the movies.
And they want you, they trying to make you accept that shit. And you can't make me accept certain things. If I feel if it's wrong, it's wrong. That's my opinion.
Yeah,
you're right,
because they drill it home.
Right, and now you forcing this on people. You forcing me to eat. Like I gotta see it.
I gotta see it.
You see all these people with these tight pants on. You know, their pants down off their ass.
You know what I'm saying? And he even got a rapper dressing in girls' clothes. Come on, man. You know? Where is this going to?
And they put
10 years from now, where is this going to lead to?
They put it in the music too, man. It's someone passed me a video, man. It was Rich Homie Quan's song, Feel Some Type of Way.
Yeah.
And if you go on the internet and you look up Rich Homie Quan's Subliminal Illuminati Message, in the video it says that you know, he's singing the song, the explicit part of the song, and he says in the song he met some girl. He's supposed, in the lyrics to the song, to say that he met a girl and he hit it, and now some guy feels some type of way. But if, when you listen to the original part of the record, like the explicit version on the record, it says, I fucked him, now he's heated, he feels some type of way. And it stands out like a sore thumb, like as the record go on. And then if you go and listen to it again and you try to read the lyric sheet that go with it, it doesn't, it's not even pronounced the same way, you know, as the lyric sheet.
Man, you look here. Do I have to go, every time I hear a lyric, do I have to go into search mode? Do I have to bring up Google to search to understand the meaning of what the fuck you just said? You know what I'm saying? Like, for instance, when Young Thug says, I first thought he said, I shine like the Reverend, I shoot at the Reverend.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? I'm like, what the fuck? So I got to hear it again. And it sounds like he's saying, I shine like the Reverend, I shoot at the Reverend. I said, well, who would do some fuck shit? What the fuck that is? So now I'm in search mode. I got to really find. So I go to his lyric content. You know what I'm saying? I need to go to Google. I need to go to lyric. I got to make sure that's what he said. No, so when I go in there and I read it, he says, I'm slime like the Reverend, I shoot at the Reverend. Okay. Now he said slime. He didn't say shine. All right. Okay. Now, if you go on the lyric content of it, it says slime is spelled S dot L dot I dot. You know what I'm saying? So now I go into the depth of, well, okay, why is it dotted like this?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Acronym.
So now I go to the depth of it. Well, this is a gang situation right here. We're talking, you know, with the blood, from my understanding. You know what I'm saying? This is a blood-oriented slime. So what he's basically saying, when he says slime, like the reverend slime, these reverends out here be slime, they be doing all this thing. So I understand it now. But do I have to do that to every rapper? You know what I'm saying? Or yet and still, he said he's fishing with them itty-bitty shrimp nips. What the fuck does that mean? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You mean you fishing? It's just a lot of different shit that you hear. And you'd be like, okay, is he saying some subliminal shit where I got to go into depth? Now, that one was once I read it, I was like, okay, all right, now I feel that a little bit better. But that don't mean that everything he say out of his mouth is going to be subliminal. Some of that shit is just stupid and retarded.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah,
you know, these rappers these days, they got out. There's some of them got talent, but Lil Wayne got these people in a coma, and I blame Lil Wayne for that. With this, where you could just say anything on a record. Blame Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Lil Wayne, when he started his free, I like the old Lil Wayne. When Lil Wayne used to write, that's the Lil Wayne I liked.
Yeah.
I like this new Lil Wayne because he say anything out of his mouth, anything, and it's sad because these people gonna buy it. You know, they buying dumb. They buying dumb. What JT called it? He called it He called it goddamn some retarded shit. So I forget what that thing he called it, but he said we called it retarded rapping. I guess we just call it like that. But it's yeah, ADD music. That's what he called it.
ADD music.
Yeah, ADD music, man. So, you know, I just, that's why I that's another reason why I can't get in. I don't even like none of these rappers, man. I see some of them got talent. Like, I like Kendrick Lamar. You know what I'm saying? He got talent, and I hope he don't trail off. You feel me?
But
there's a few of them got talent, but they're not using their talent to the best of their ability. Believe it or not, shit, I like the old Mariah Carey. You know what I'm saying? We gonna go to the devil with Mariah Carey. Come on now, she does an octave that ain't too many people can do.
Hell yeah!
So why are you singing over hip hop beats?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, your talent, your voice is need for mature type of music. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
that's why you had that voice. You know what I'm saying? Why are you singing over hip hop beats when you're not even elevating your voice to where it could have went to?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I never understood that. But
yeah, I always looked at that same way.
You know what I'm saying? When she first came out, she had the particular white type of music, but with some music. It was musically. It was Whitney Houston musically type of stuff when Whitney was doing, you know, with Clive Davis. You know what I'm saying? Some real music. You know what I'm saying? What made you go into in these rapper beats? Oh, it made you successful, but you never used your voice to where it could have been, you know, where you could have been. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I just, you know, certain things I just don't understand. But you know, again, I guess it's about the money. I don't know. She might have sold her soul and went to the money. I don't know. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. It's a lot, man, we could talk about as far as that, man. I also want to, before I let you go and everything, man, I want to make sure, you know, people can catch you DJing at some of your events, man, where they can catch you at, man. You know, how can they contact you online for a gig, a party, man, or interviews, or, you know, maybe even a radio station appearance.
Well, like I said, basically, I'm just DJing. I'm more mobile. I'm not in the club, so I go through a lot of different parties here and there every now. And I do, believe it or not, I work with event places, do a lot of weddings and stuff. So I can be any possible way. But if you want to keep in contact, you know, you can go on my Facebook page, Mike Fresh McCray, and I usually set up my events where I'm doing parties, where I'm going to do parties at, and then, you know, you can come check me out.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up, man. And the other thing is, man, now, is it any way possible that we can get you to come back into the game with some tracks, man, like, you know, something to release, man, you know, fresh, new sound? Is it something in the future that tells us that you may be coming back like that, man, or?
Well, I'm going to tell you like this. I see bass music coming back. And bass music been dead since Master P. But I see bass music coming back. So if I come back, I'm probably going to come back working on bass music.
Okay.
Bass music is right now, as you can see, Nicki Minaj made that record with Sir Mix-a-Lot. That lets you know right then and there. The tempo's getting ready to go up.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And particularly, I don't like that record, but, you know, it's a Sir Mix-a-Lot record, and these women want to pop that pussy, twerk.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You can't pop that pussy and twerk. You can do it, but when women want to do that, they want to do that on an up-tempo bass track. That, you know, not that slow shit. yeah. And the music is too slow. When you go into a club these days, it just looks so boring because people are dancing to slow tempos. It's like 70 beats per minute, and these dances are just like, are these really dances? Mm-hmm. Like, the nene is a dance. Okay, how much can you do the nene? I mean, for real. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you really can't dance to these songs that's coming out. They sound good, but you really can't dance to them. You know, and that's why I say the tempo is getting ready to start coming out. I'm seeing it. Like, I'm really seeing the future coming up real soon. And this tempo speed, the speed is coming up. And I really think bass music is getting ready to come back. Internationally, bass music never went nowhere. I know some bass groups right now is like Goosey Crew. They'll be in Brazil next month doing a tour for the whole month. You know what I'm saying? So you would think Goosey Crew don't even exist no more. Where's Goosey Crew? Goosey Crew? I heard from Goosey Crew in a minute. Oh, they back touring. There's money to be made. The United States is just one piece. There's money to be made overseas. And once the United States start getting its base coming back, and it's coming back, I see it coming. That's what I tell you, man. I'm telling you this right now. Bass music, I give it at least 2 more years, and it's going to be back in full throttle. But that's where I'm
would watching go. It, man. Like, yeah. I, the reason why I agree with you on that too, man, because it seemed like they're recycling a lot of stuff that used to be. Even you see it with sneakers all the time and stuff. You know what I mean? And you know, old leather coats and stuff. They start bringing it back out, man. You know what I mean? And I'm looking forward to see who's going to be the bass producer these days. You know what I mean? So I'm watching right along with you.
And how's it going to come? It might not be totally bass. It might be bass mixed with EDM.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how the form is going to be, but I do know the tempo is going to get back up to the 120s.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The 120s or the 130s. You know what I'm saying? And because I'm going out doing these gigs, and I can tell that it's the women. Like I say, the women do it, the men going to follow. You know what I'm saying? The women love to shake their ass. And every time I DJ a party now, it's like, man, play some bass music. It doesn't matter if it's old or new.
I think we got a call on the line too. I see 267 on the line. I don't know if y'all got y'all. If y'all know, you press the 1. If you want to speak. And you're lighting up on my switchboard, so I'm assuming you want to speak. If you don't, you can press 1, and if you're just listening in, and that lets us know not to take your call. So we're about to take your call right now, 267. Let everybody know who you are, where you're calling from, and you're live with Mr. Mike Fresh. Hello? I guess they just listening in, and they probably pressed the button by accident. Mr. Mike Fresh, man, it's an honor to have you on the show, man.
Yeah.
You welcome back anytime, man. Like, anytime you want to come on, man, you know what I'm saying? You got something new you're doing, man. If you can come on and give advice to producers, man, it'd be an honor to have you on, you know what I mean, to, you know, do some shows with us, you know, as a producer, man, you know what I'm saying? And you know, just give some insight to producers out there on working on their craft, man, and their mixes, and you know. Yeah. So if that's something that you know you might be interested in doing, man, it'd be an honor to have you on and come on with us.
Oh, no problem, man. I'm glad you give me the outlet. So you know, because I don't usually get the outlet where I can express, you know, my thoughts. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people try to close me out because I don't usually speak, even though you hear me talking a lot right now. I'm a listener. I listen, you know what I'm saying? And so a lot of people is trying to shut me out. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm a humble. I don't say too many things, but I see things going on that I don't like. But I don't. Yeah. I usually just ignore it. But after a while, what I see is if you keep ignoring it, they're gonna keep doing.
Yeah. We expose these motherfuckers, man. Let's expose them.
Yeah, they know you ain't gonna say nothing. You know, so you got to air it out, and you taking me out of my element because I don't want to do it, but I can't sit there and let you just keep closing the door on me and act like I don't exist. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I have to, you know, I have to get it out. You know what I'm saying? And I don't say no names. I haven't said no names since we on this interview. But they know who I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? If they don't, you know what I'm saying, it's cool. But you know, I just like to get my point across and just, you know, leave it at that. You know what I'm saying? I'm not right all the time. I'm not. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, don't close the door on me. You know what I'm saying?
Real talk, man. And with that being said, like, you know, I'm pretty sure they all know, you know what I mean, you know, that you're aware, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I'm you know, like I said, I'm a grown man. I, like, even before this, when I seen certain interviews that this particular person did, I called him up and said, hey, man, we need to talk. You know what I'm saying? We need to talk. You know, we grown people, man. We ain't got to go beefing. We just need to talk. I need to see where your head at, where my head at. So we sat and talked. He came over. I sat and talked to him, and I'm like, you know, is there any beef or anything I did that you had a problem with that you want to express? You know what I'm saying? Because before we leave talking to each other, I need to know where we stand.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't want to beef with you. I don't have no. I'm too old to be beefing with people, man. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, where we stand. So, you know, we had our talk, you know what I'm saying? And I'm guessing everything cool. I haven't seen nothing lately, but at the same time, you know, it did occur. So, you know,
yeah.
But I feel we good because, man, look here, man, that's like family to me, man. You know what I'm saying? That shit, like, hurt me when I seen these comments. So, I had to check it. I can't sit there and just, oh, man, but instead of me going on an interview and checking it back, no, I need to check you. Like, I'm calling you.
Yeah.
Let's talk. Where we need to meet somewhere. You coming over, or I need to come over to you. What's happening? You know what I'm saying? And let's get this, because if it goes on interviews and that, then it done went somewhere now. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I choose to, you know, fight you personally. You know what I'm saying? Come eye to eye contact. Let me look at you. Let me see where your head at. You know what I'm saying? I don't need to talk about you on that, you know. And like right now, I'm talking about it, but I mentioned no names, just, and, you know, and I hope everything good with us. You know what I'm saying? We leave it at that.
Yeah. And like I said too, Mr. Freshman Mike, you know what I'm saying? My fault, Mike. Anytime, you know what I'm saying, you want to come on, man, you want to voice anything, man, you got something new you're doing, or you need some support behind it, man. Like, we hear that the airway is always open to you, man. And
I appreciate that.
And before we let you go too, man, we always ask all our guests, man, to come on the show, man, to give us a drop, man. Whatever way you dress it up, man, you know what I mean? The name of the station is First Fam Radio.
Chris, who?
I don't know. It's First Fam Radio. Like family, First Family Radio.
Oh, First Family Radio.
Yeah, or First Fam Radio. Whatever way you want to jazz it up.
All right, cool. No problem. You want me to do it now?
Yeah, man, we're going to hop into some of your joints, man.
Okay, you listen to First Fam Radio. It's that real shit, so pay attention.
I like that right there, man. You know what I mean? And let everybody know your name, man. Give it to me one more time, man, with the name in there, man. Mike Fresh, man.
Yeah, this is the original Mike Fresh, because there's another Mike Fresh, but we cool like that. But this is the original Mike Fresh. Listen to First Fam Radio. Did I say that right?
Yeah, you said it right, and we got you backed up right there.
FirstFamRadio.com. FirstFamRadio.com.
Straight house. Shaking already? They shaking already?
Oh man, please! The last time you had me on the sink, oh man, you had my knees shaking.
Yeah.
Mhm. We're gonna do it everywhere.
FirstFamRadio.com. FirstFamRadio.com.
Yo, it's a fucked up thing. I gotta bring Kid Play on this motherfucking album here, two pussy punk ass niggas. Yo, check this out. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go get last year's Rookie of the Year, JT Money, Poison Clan, this year's Rookie of the Year, Bust Down. Yo, Bust Down, kick some of that West Bank shit on these niggas.
Well, I'm first up, there's a rhyme conveyor. Luke Records in the house for the payback player. Kid and Flicker suck a dick. Get me a mic and a 40 and let a real nigga wreck shit. To me, you're walking on a tightrope. Instead of trying to be real, you're steady sweating them white folks. Keep running your big mouth. But if you come to my hood, you'll get your asshole ripped out. Then I'ma play you to the backseat. Cause I'm running more games than a track meet athlete. As if you didn't know, you're dealing with a West Bank Dixman hoe. But anyway, I got a rhyme to deliver. Get your drawers out your ass, quit fronting my nigga. Cause if you don't, well, you'll keep getting dissed on. And if I see you at a show and you're slipping, you're getting pissed on.
One part about kids to play. One about
I don't play. Cause y'all some fuck ass, punk ass, coochie niggas anyway. JT in the house, niggas, check it. Tryna dip my nigga Luke to sell your whack record. Let me talk about the kid. I remember some old coochie nigga shit you did when we was up in New York. You was following Luke, talking about we gotta talk on that man's dick. Got your ass wide open and you're talking that bullshit. Both movies I pulled, cause you had hoes but wasn't sticking pipe to them. Thought they was fantastic, but through the whole fucking movie, kid was getting his ass kicked. And by the other nigga Play, he need to get this, cause he's a punk nigga anyway. Be around here kissing hoes while I'm dissing hoes and stabbing them with fishing poles. Need to try to lay pipe in them. Oh, I forgot, punks don't like women. Got the nerve to try to diss somebody. At Jack the Rapper, you was hanging around Luke's party. Now you out of gas with two motherfucking punk haters on your ass. JT and Bustdown. Now let's see you whole niggas get tough now. Get the rubbers out your ass, dick suckers. Man, fuck them pussy motherfuckers.
To the other girl.
FirstFamRadio.com. FirstFamRadio.com.